831-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello and welcome in. It is the Friday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio with the coach, Don Dunn, hanging out with us on a Friday afternoon, a beautiful Friday afternoon in Auburn. A little cooler than it's been of late, a little cloud coverage, and I'm sure I have not been plugged in because I had some things going on today, but I was, have they already scrimmaged or are they, I think it's tonight, and you know, the plan is to sort of simulate.
I understand, yeah.
Yeah, I thought the plan was to simulate. We'll talk to Bill about that too, but we'll get, you know, we'll find out more as, you know, we find out our media availability schedule for next week. You know, I think they're going to be pretty tightly guarded initially about what happens in Jordan-Hare Stadium today. But favorable weather. I know Hugh Freeze wanted it unforgiving today because he's got a team that has to play 3 weeks from today in Waco, Texas. And Coach, do me a favor, pull up the Waco, Texas weather if you can. And you guys want to play a little over-under game on today's weather in Waco, Texas, where Auburn's, yeah, but Drew, well, okay, Drew's saying 100, Coach. You think it's over or under 100?
I say 98.
Okay, Coach is going slightly under 100, and Coach absolutely nailed it. Let me ask it. Now we got a real feel down here of what it. Yeah, okay, 98. Yeah, 98's accurate. So you're good to go. Excellent work, Coach Dunn. But
I did not cheat.
That is that's a really nice. It's tough football weather, Coach. You've been out there in Texas in early in the season for these kind of games and. Yeah. Auburn's going to use, I mean, as much as figuring out the rotation and figuring out, ironing out the details of the depth chart and who's in and who's out, you know, I think these scrimmages and a lot of this preseason practice is about making sure the team is physically
right
up for the task of, you know, that gauntlet they run in the first half of the season.
Right.
At Baylor, two home games, day games most likely, and then at Oklahoma, which is likely going to be in the daytime as well.
Yep.
You're going to College Station after that before you have a bye week. You know, three tough ones in the first five, including a very important opener against the Baylor Bears. And so this is scrimmage day for the Auburn football team, and it'll be interesting to see what trickles out about a team that, I mean, you know, feels very strong about its depth. You know, I keep thinking, at least right now, the big question isn't, oh, well, what are they going to do at this position? For me, a lot of the questions seem to be how many players are going to contribute and who are they? Rather than, you know, it doesn't seem to me like they have. And look, a couple weeks into the season, there could be a gigantic glaring hole somewhere on this team. I'm just not sure, you know, it's tough to spot it right now and say, that's the area where there appears to be a significant talent gap between Auburn and the best teams in the SEC. You know, sort of they all have Auburn. I mean, the offensive line is where I think some folks may point to, but Auburn's got three very veteran returning players and two guys that were highly sought after at the portal playing tackle. It sounds like they feel pretty good about their depth beyond those guys with some experience like Too Tall, Tyler Miller, Tyler Johnson, Too Tall Miller, and even some of the younger players that are making a push too. So I don't know. We'll find out more about the scrimmage over the weekend. Maybe the next time we talk to Hugh Freeze. And as I mentioned to Justin yesterday, let's bring Bill Cameron in, who's playing on the home studio. Bill, how long do you think you can how long do you think you can go today? How many pitches do you feel like you can you can offer the show?
I don't know. I feel pretty good today. It's a little bit better. I mean, not having the muscle spasms and things like that. So I found a comfy spot to get in so that I can keep my leg propped up. So we'll see. I mean, I think I'm gonna try to go the distance.
Excellent. Well, you sound great, and it's great to talk to you. And I was just, I mean, I know you heard what I just sort of observed about the. About the team. Do you know the answer to, is it tonight at Jordan-Hare?
I was thinking it was, but then I've seen a couple of people talking about, you know, things that are going on right now. So maybe it's going on as we speak.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I've had quite a few people wanting to, wanting to know if I knew, and I told them no. Quite frankly, I didn't, and I understand that, Don. I mean, this is something, it's a little bit different than practice. You're going to be out there in scrimmage. That this is very important. You don't want some of those. Some of those spying eyes watching if you can avoid it.
You're exactly right, Bill. You want to keep this as close-knit in-house as you can. You're getting, you're 3 weeks from today, so it's getting kind of nitty-gritty time. So this is a big scrimmage for them. I'm sure they'll get after it. I think you'll see a lot of good on good. And after today, maybe one more main scrimmage, and I think that would be about
next
it.
Next week.
So I wanted to ask the two of you about something we talked about yesterday with Justin Ferguson, which when they ran some red zone stuff at the end of yesterday's practice, it seemed like the defense had the advantage, especially when Auburn tried to run the ball. There are some folks sort of connecting that to Auburn's struggles in the red zone last year offensively and worrying if there could be some carryover. I think the answer is possibly. But I sort of pointed out yesterday, Jackson Arnold's legs are going to be part of the red zone attack, and you can't really simulate that when he's not live in this environment. And so I think it's imperative for Auburn to convert more of their red zone appearances into touchdowns this season if they want to improve. But I'm not necessarily panicking over Auburn not being able to run the ball against Auburn's defense in red zone simulations, and even saying that, they had to kick a couple of field goals, but they almost had the touchdown to Eric Singleton. It was very close. I was there, and I thought he got it, but
how many times did Auburn not score in the red zone yesterday? Because that's it's crazy how low Auburn's percentage was in scoring of any kind in the red zone a year ago.
No, so they had a couple of big third downs that didn't go their way, and then they kicked field goals with Mack and Towns. There was a miss as well, and then there was a miss by a walk-on, and there was a decision to go for it on a fourth down, and that's the play.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the play where Juice and Chris Murray get to Deuce, and he didn't know. He didn't see, like, they didn't touch him, obviously, because it's a practice. But if this had been a game, it would have looked like you were standing on the tracks and, the 355 train is coming through, and that's the thing. The last couple of days at practice, and especially yesterday, the thing that blew me away was getting to see the burst of. I mean, we know about Keldrick, right? But getting to see, I'm sold on Amaris Williams having a huge year based on the last couple of days. I know you got to be careful with second-year players who are shining through just a week of practice, but this guy probably, would it be fair to say he underachieved based on what he was as a recruit last season?
Who, Amaris?
Yeah.
I guess, but I mean, freshmen don't generally come in and dominate in the SEC.
I think he thought he would contribute more than
he
did.
I think he thought he would, yeah. but something, it seems like something delayed his progress. Right. He may have been banged up a little bit back early in camp.
Oh, he gave a really candid answer about not being, and coach, you've probably run into this before too, where he did not respond to the early adversity of not being dominant. This guy was a big time recruit, small school too, out of North Carolina. This guy had pushed around offensive linemen for a couple of years, and last year he got to campus and it didn't go that way.
Right.
And he didn't necessarily respond in the best way. And this year, he seems to have pushed all the right buttons since the season. Thought about going. I think he did go in the portal.
Oh,
didn't
he? He was in very, very briefly, and Auburn did everything they could and were very, very pleased that they were able to convince him to exit the portal.
And he's pushed all the right buttons, and he just seems like he's got a little bit of, and I want to be careful with this, Derek Hall's a good example, But I keep thinking about, remember how you thought Javon Kearse was too slim and too small, and then you actually saw him against a tackle? He's got a little bit of that, where he's got a undersized power forward type of build to him, and you see him, you know, you wonder if he's going to hold up until you see him one-on-one with an offensive lineman, and you realize he's strong enough, and he's got a crazy first step. I know people are focusing on Perry Thompson, deservedly so, and that was a really compelling episode of practice yesterday that we chatted about a little bit, and I'd love to get coach's thoughts on that. But as far as second-year player who didn't play a ton last year, who feels like a much larger contributor this season, like Amaris Williams, to me, is one of the names that really jumps out as someone who could fit that bill, because he's just been eye popping through the first few days of spring practice.
You know, that's one of those things, and Don, you can talk about this. Guys that come from perhaps either smaller schools or haven't played the level of competition that some other players have, it is a bit of a shock. They're not used to being around guys that are that much better than the players that they played against. But it's to Amaris's credit that he's stepped it up and is playing, you know, the way that the way that everyone had projected that he would when he was a high school recruit.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, those kids, they come in, they, like you said, they might be bigger, faster, stronger than what they've been playing against. Then they get with people that are equally as strong, big, and fast. And it takes them a while to adjust. But the nice thing, like you said, he took it in stride and he learned from it.
It can be humbling, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's the word.
And that's not a bad thing.
No, it can be humbling for the certain player.
Yeah,
and I think in the case of Amaris Williams,
he took
it as a learning experience.
Exactly.
And he's seemingly
turned it into a positive.
And he's seemingly pushed all the right buttons, and I really can't wait.
Yeah.
Can you think of a player who had a tough time early and figured it out? You know, whether it was at your position or somewhere else on the defense. I know Jason is like a pretty obvious candidate for that, you know, with the adversity he faced early on. But often that's the story at quarterback.
Right.
Is that you struggle in your first taste of playing time. Like, you know, a guy who, I mean, you know who I heard
Nick.
Story. I was thinking maybe Stanley would be somebody
he was
who
a little smaller built guy,
but,
you know.
But Stanley was a guy who I think thought maybe it was going to be
easier.
And I know there were other things going on there too. But like, you know, I thought, you know, Stanley McGlover maybe would be someone who, you know, had to absorb,
had to adapt and,
early adversity and not get on the field as much as he thought he would early on, and then still became a pretty impactful player by the end of his career.
Yeah, there's probably a bunch of them. I'd have to go back and go through the roster. But back then, you know, it was a little different. Like we've talked before, most of our guys didn't come in till August. We didn't have them all summer, so there was a lot of them that were behind, you know, physically, mentally, and, you know, they just took them a while, and we tried to redshirt as many of them as we could, and then, you know, just the progression.
And was the redshirt year usually? Go ahead, Bill.
No, I was going to say, I was just thinking, you know, Nick Fairley didn't have his freshman year at Auburn. He started at junior college. But remember, Nick, there were questions, is he, you know, what is he? Is he an end? Is he a tackle?
Yeah.
Even there had been questions in high school, was he a tight end? You know, what was he going to be? And then, you know, when he stepped it up, he really stepped it up. But, I mean, he was sort of disappointing until that championship season.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's hard. You know, most of them, you know, are behind the eight ball when they first get here. Very few of them are able to step in as a true freshman and play at this level. It's tough.
Yeah, the line of scrimmage is always it's always seemed like a place where that redshirt year is especially beneficial.
No doubt. I agree with you 100%.
334-321-1390. Love to hear from you. Any sort of you know, again, sort of, you know, carrying on from you, is there a position group you're really interested in hearing about, a player that you've got your eye on 3 weeks until Auburn and Baylor in Waco. That game, of course, on Wings 94.3. Love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Or you can check out the podcast, also presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, wherever you get your favorite podcast. We got Coach Don Dunn in the studio. Bill is going to Bill's going to hang on for as long as he can. He's talking about maybe going all nine innings, from the home studio. So we'll have more of Bill Cameron when we come back as well. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. First hour of the Friday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio with the coach, Don Dunn. We've got Drew at the controls. We've got Bill Cameron on the home studio. Appreciate Bill. And Bill, you're feeling all right?
I feel better. I've had 3 days of physical therapy now, and going back again Monday, and it's definitely helping. I mean, I'm not ready to do any jogging or run up and down any stairs or anything yet, but no, it's getting better.
All right, good. I do think they're going to need the equipment back, before football season starts for the for the high schools.
Yeah, but I figured I'd probably bring it back Monday if things go well.
Whenever you're, I don't know if it's a rush yet. We could talk about some of this off the air, but I mean, I think it's fine, and I'm glad you're up for it. And again, coach, really appreciate.
Yeah, well, I mean, high school football is getting started.
We got to have Jacob on pretty soon to talk about the upcoming season. Auburn High is one of the contenders, one of the top teams in the state going into the season. So we'll talk about that with Jacob at some point before the year gets started. And again, coach, really appreciate you jumping on these
no
last
problem.
Few days.
No problem. I've enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Helping out as much as you can. So what sort of stuff? First scrimmage of the year. First scrimmage of the preseason. What sort of things were you especially looking for? And I would single. I mean, if you want to single out the new arrivals at a position, because looking at Auburn's defensive line this year, you've got some true freshmen trying to show they can contribute right now. You've got some transfers coming in, making the jump up to the SEC. And you got some guys like Malik Blockton, Bobby Jamison Travis, who are returning from last year. Like, what sorts of things are you looking to see when to get out there for the first scrimmage of the season?
Yeah, the number one thing is effort. I always wanted to make sure and watch the effort. Tried not to do a lot of coaching and yelling during a scrimmage. Wanted to let the guys, make sure there's good communication, sideline control, getting them in and out, subbing, and then, having your rotation. Probably the guys that you definitely know are going to be your top guys, get them in early and then try to work those younger guys in and try to figure out what your two deep is, what your three deep is, what your rotation is going to be. Because I know they want to really emphasize rotating the D-line, and I think that's positive. I think that's a plus.
And I wonder how much of that is trying to find pairs and players that can work together, and how much of that is needing to know how many guys are potential contributors, because they've talked about this plan to maybe keep players from playing more than 20, 25 snaps in total on that defensive line if they have enough reserves to pull it off.
I know you'll have different situations. You'll have your first down guys, your run stoppers, then your third down guys, your definite pass rushers, work combinations. Like you said, who your two starters, who's your first guy in? I'm talking about the interior only right now, the tackles. And then you got your ends. Same thing. Who's your best edge guys? Are they going to be able to pass drop? Are they going to be able to rush the passer? Stopping the run, all those things, the combinations. Then you'll go back and evaluate the film. Okay, say Joey and Johnny were with my first group, and they did a great job. So I'm confident with them, but who's going to be that third guy? Who's going to be that fourth guy? And when it comes down to crunch time, like Bill mentioned last week, who's going to be in there at the end of the game when we've got to get off the field, when we've got to get the ball back, and we've got to hold the lead or, you know, get the lead? So a lot of combinations, but I would imagine it'll be a game-type situation. I'm sure they'll have coaches in the press box. They'll use the headsets, try to make it as much as game situation as possible. And they'll script some stuff. They'll want to make sure they get enough punts, enough punt returns, field goals. And if they go through the scrimmage and say, okay, we haven't had enough third and long, they'll maybe script some of that. Or they may just let it go. I don't know what they're doing, but, you know, as it gets closer to game time, it'll be more of a scripted, just going down the script. Okay, it's first and 10. Uh-oh, sudden change. Get the defense out, get the offense on. A lot of substitution game-type situations later on. Today, I think they'll just get after it.
The part about figuring out who the best 11 are, right, mm-hmm. and needing to know that for crucial moments, and also figuring out how many more than 11 are going to play on your defense, and it's going to be considerably more than 11 playing on the Auburn defense this year over the course of the game. It's just a matter of, figuring out, you know, and there are some intriguing pass rush sort of combinations and possibilities. Because what you like about some of your guys, like a Keldrick, like an Amaris, Zeke Walker's got some of this too. They can play multiple spots on that defensive line, depending on where, you know, depending on the on down and distance and who else you have out there. And the thought of Keldrick and Amaris as your inside guys on a third and long, or even an obvious passing down for the opponent, allowing you to, you know, have some other sort of, like you can, you know, the number of options can be. I think DJ Durkin's going to have the chance to get creative mm-hmm. with how he sends some of these guys after, you know, how he uses some of these guys, how he sends them after the quarterback.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. And
you know, it's going to be it.
Go ahead, Bill.
No, go ahead, Don. I said it's going to be interesting to see, you know, who steps up today. Today is a huge opportunity for a lot of the guys that just came in during the spring, or a few that came in over the summer, for them to try to make a move, because with game week just being 3 weeks away, and I think just one more full scrimmage coming up next Friday, this is going to be a big determination. I mean, tonight's going to be big in determining who are your two deep for sure. I mean, you'd love to make sure you've got third guys and things like that, but here's that opportunity to step up for the guys that have been playing well in practice. You know, we've heard three or four guys' names really flashing this fall, and that's great, but when they get out there on the field in this scrimmage, that's where they need to go ahead and make that step as well. I mean, you mentioned effort, Don. I think another thing is how many of these guys look like they know where to be. They're in the right place. They're making the right decisions. May not always be make a play. I mean, you could have situations where it's scripted, where they script something and the quarterback makes the right read and it goes for nothing, but that doesn't mean that the quarterback or the players involved were making the wrong decision. So there are an awful lot of things, but this is the biggest opportunity for players to make that big jump.
Yeah, no doubt, Bill. You're right. It's a big day for them, and thank goodness, good weather should not be any problem with that. It's a little cooler, so that I think they'll get a lot of reps in. I look for them probably to go 100 plays.
And I would think that running the football is going to be important at this scrimmage for a couple of reasons. One, you want your offensive line to show you they can get that push. You want your defensive line to get some experience against that inside run. Mm-hmm. And one of the fiercest battles on the team right now seems to be sort of the timeshare at running back.
Yeah.
How many players are in the picture, and what's that going to look like? And I agree with Justin Ferguson from yesterday. I don't know what we're going to know about Auburn's running game and who's in the picture at running back before the Baylor game. I think if someone gets hurt, that could clarify things a little better. You'd take a name sort of off the list.
Yeah.
But I think for the most part, like as it stands now, all five of the scholarship running backs could potentially be in the picture, depending on how things go against Baylor. And that's, you know, that's and I think Omar's probably he's probably flashed a little bit more than Alvin. And with Damari and Jeremiah, you've had injury situations that have limited their availability through for the first week. But that feels wide open going into the first scrimmage. And I wonder, Coach, a big performance tonight.
Yeah, and like we've talked before, who can pass block the best? Who can help out on that edge rusher when you have to chip that edge guy, get help from your running back?
A big performance in your eyes and in the eyes of the people that would be evaluating playing time decisions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily who broke the big run
right.
and scored the touchdown or who caught the screen pass and turned it into something. You want to see the guys flash with the ball,
mm-hmm.
but it's possible for running backs to flash without the ball. And pass protection is going to be one of them. And I wonder what a big performance tonight would do for, and especially probably a big performance next Friday night
mm-hmm.
would do for one of these running backs
mm-hmm.
as far as maybe you love horse racing, Coach?
Oh yes.
I think they're nose to nose, you know, yeah. What a neck and neck.
Yeah.
Right now
they're total finish.
That's exactly what they're down the stretch.
Yeah.
And it's
we don't want any inquiries.
No, but it's
no bumps.
No scratches either.
No.
Nobody getting scratched at the
but I was going to say but the catch 22 of the deal is Auburn was one of the better in the country a year ago. If in the scrimmage tonight Auburn ran roughshod over the defense, I think there'd probably be more concern than there would be elation that you've got some guys taking big steps with the running game. I actually would think it would make more sense that the defense would have the upper hand in the running game early on.
Yeah, just based on what I've seen so far, these defensive coaches, it would be hellfire and brimstone if Auburn had a big running game. If Auburn's offense had, now it could happen. Apparently, it's happened in some of the previous practices where there have been some matchups where the Auburn run game has won. But Auburn's defense had a big game, and you know had a big day yesterday. Wonder what that looks like. You know, wonder what we hear about tonight's scrimmage. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. Who's hanging on?
Daniel,
we will get to you when we come back. Don't want to cut you short, but we're up against a break. We'll come back with more. Daniel's hanging on the Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. Dan Peck in the studio with Coach Don Dunn. Drew at the controls. Bill on the home studio, beaming in from the future. We'll be back with more. You're listening to The Drive.
Heaven.
Welcome back. Hour number one of the Friday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio with Coach Don Dunn. Bill Cameron on the home studio. Buzzing in. We'll have Bill throughout the show. Excited about that. And maybe back in the studio again soon. He hinted at that earlier, so excited to see the big enchilada back here in the studio. Let's get to the phones. Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. 334-321-1390. Daniel is hanging on. What's up, bud?
Hey guys, got the big three on the show today. Bill, just wanted to let you know, man. I'm praying for you, hoping this recovery process is smooth, and we all miss you.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Absolutely. I had a fun trivia question that somebody I saw posted online today, and it was, when was the last Auburn game on Fox? Thanks, guys.
So I know the answer to this question, as a matter of fact, and it's a game, Don, that you coached in. Bill, I believe it's a game you attended. And Daniel, correct
well,
me.
That's not unlikely.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe this was the bowl game against Nebraska. I believe this was the Cotton Bowl against Nebraska in the, was that after the 2006 season when Auburn played Nebraska on New Year's Day and won
a close game.
Yeah, a close game, but a street fight. Like a game without a lot of big plays on offense.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Daniel, is that correct?
He said thank you.
Well, you got to hang on. If you're going to ask us a trivia question, you got to hang on. And I believe that is
Make
the
sure
right answer.
Make sure we got it right.
Yeah, and if that's right. And if that's right, Coach, I like to always mention when that game comes up that Nebraska's quarterback in that game was Zach Taylor, the coach of the Bengals, the head coach. Now the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, the guy who was the took them to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
Wow.
So Bill Callahan coached Nebraska in that game. Taylor and Callahan remained close after Taylor became a coach.
Right.
I believe Callahan was even on the Bengals staff recently working for his former quarterback. Callahan's now in Tennessee working for his son, the head coach of the Titans.
Right.
But that was probably like a little kid running around the sidelines for Nebraska in that game 20 years ago. But I believe Auburn's first. So Auburn's first true road game to open a season since USC in 2002, and Auburn's first game on Fox since Nebraska in January 1st, 2007. So a couple of long streaks ending with the Auburn Baylor game and it's probably Auburn's first road game against a Big 12 team since you guys went to Manhattan, Kansas. Would be my guess.
Right.
I'm thinking it's probably this is the first time Auburn's gone on the road.
That Thursday night game in Manhattan.
Thursday night game early in the 07 season against Kansas State. I want to say you guys had a or maybe I don't know if it was a Thursday or a Saturday because I think the Nick Marshall. Oh, you know what? Nick Marshall's team went to Kansas State, didn't they?
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, they did.
I don't
that
think.
Was you
yeah,
guys did. Right. I think you guys played Kansas State too, right? But
yeah,
not
but at home.
At home.
Yeah.
At home. Okay.
Yeah.
So Auburn. I think it's the first. I think it's the last. Yeah, the first true road game against the Big 12 since 2014. Auburn, Kansas State. But you guys hosted you guys hosted Kansas State with Snyder or whoever was.
It was
the other guy. It was the nut. Ron Prince.
Yeah, it was Ron Prince.
Yeah, it was Ron Prince. talking with Coach Don Dunn, and again, 3 weeks from today.
Wow,
Auburn and
Hard
Baylor.
To believe.
And, yeah, probably some. I would expect some jersey either right now or shortly. Some activity in Jordan-Hare Stadium. Maybe they're going to be doing the getting the screens ready for the first home game in a couple of weeks. As well, but no, this is a we always hear about that first scrimmage and especially that second scrimmage being so pivotal when a coach is evaluating. Okay, you've had a lot of the right answers so far, but now it's time to really put you to the test.
Yeah, and that's why I say that there'll be less coaching during the scrimmage. How are you going to react on your own without a coach standing right beside you? Telling you, get your pads down, run to the ball, blah, blah, blah. How are you going to react? And, again, so important for communication. If you see the first game, mistakes, 12 men on the field, little things will get you beat in that first game, and every game, but especially that first game and on the road. They may pipe in some crowd noise. I'm sure they will.
Oh, they're gonna try to throw some variables, some adversity.
At least they'll have a series or two where they probably crank it up so loud you can't hear yourself think.
I'll tell you what else, Coach. As someone who went to Thursday's practice and saw the whole thing,
right?
And saw Hugh Freeze, get on a couple of cases, and saw Hugh Freeze come in on Wednesday and talk about how he wasn't terribly thrilled with the effort level at Wednesday's practice. I would strongly urge anyone, like, you can't loaf tonight. Like, you can't.
No.
Like, this is a situation. Like, this cannot be. You mentioned effort first.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about what you're looking for. I think that would be, in a vacuum, effort would be the first thing you're looking for. Effort has been in question 2 days in a row at different position groups. You can't, now you're getting out there and playing.
Yeah,
it can't be something you're worried about.
And knowing kids, they'll be more excited tonight than going through a Wednesday morning practice. That's just the way it is.
Getting to be in the stadium and play something that resembles football.
On, yeah. You know, knowing that, hey, I gotta produce. I gotta give everything I have for how many snaps. I may only get 15, but they better be quality reps.
And maybe folks aren't watching. You know, maybe you don't have an audience because it's scrimmage. Maybe it's relative.
I doubt there'll be anybody.
Tell you what, your teammates are watching.
That's right. And the big eye in the sky, as they used to say, that film, he's watching. The film don't lie. I had a coach tell me that all my life.
And you know, hey, Bill, we mentioned yesterday with Justin Ferguson. I would think next week or in 2 weeks, we haven't gotten a schedule or anything. I would think assistant coaches could be on the horizon, right?
I hope so. I mean, for the last couple of years, we've been given the opportunity to talk to the assistants before the season got started. So, yeah, that would be great. And you would think it would make more sense to be doing it. You know, you're not going to do that game week. So, sure, here in the next week or so, I think that would be great and look forward to, because we, you know, we have a couple of new coaches, but there's so many changes in the positions and in the position groupings, the talent that's there. It'd be great to hear, you know, great to hear from the assistants how they feel about their respective rooms.
Yeah, so if we get that opportunity, and again, that's sort of speculating based on the last few years of Auburn football media availability. But if we get to talk to the assistant coaches, we'll try to share as much of that with you guys next week, because it's been really beneficial the last few years. It's been great to get to talk to some of these Auburn coaches, and yeah, I'm intrigued at some of these spots. I want to talk to, you know what, I'd love to talk to, especially if it happens next week, I'd love to talk to Coach Nix about the running back room, right? And what their plans are there, and obviously Marcus has a ton of has a lot to say about his group. DJ Durkin is always a wonderful interview, and that could be a lot of fun. I think and Crime Dog is one of the best too. So yeah, I think Auburn's got.
I'm looking at my phone just from the last time we did interviews back in March. I mean, Rock is a guy that is back
Rock.
And want to talk to him again. But yeah, you're right. And speaking of Marcus, Marcus apparently is a guy who's getting an awful lot of credit as Auburn continues to be the expected landing spot for Jace Matthews, the number two receiver in the country. He's going to make an announcement right as we're going off the air tonight.
Yeah, Jace Matthews' announcement coming up later today. We'll be able to react to that on Monday. We can speculate a little bit as folks think Auburn is in is firmly in the mix. You want to be conservative about it, but Marcus, he's also gotten credit. Like some of these receivers were, coach, they were big mounds of clay, right, that needed to be shaped into college football receivers. They were excellent recruits, but there were aspects of their game that were that needed polish. And for Marcus Davis, I believe the Coach Freeze mentioned on Wednesday that the first two guys he mentioned when I asked about players who had really taken advantage, second year guys that had really taken advantage of this offseason, first two guys he mentioned were Perry and Malcolm because of their route running. And that's, I would have to imagine that the receivers coach gets a lot of credit for sort of overseeing the development of the route running of players like Perry Thompson and Malcolm Simmons. And we'll talk some more about Perry. That Perry thing is a, it feels like a big scrimmage for him.
Yeah.
Tonight after getting called out, getting called out by his coach and by his position coach and his head coach and getting a couple of minutes of pretty intense instruction before going out there and finishing practice strong. Breakout candidate. We'll see. We'll see what we hear about how he's doing.
Yeah, it's an important day for a lot of them, and the guy's done a nice job with the receivers. It's nice to have good players, but you still got to coach them. And the ones that accept the coaching are going to be your better ones and the great ones.
334-321-1390, the number to dial. We'll take our final break of hour number one. Stick around. We got more coming up. You are listening to The Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Final segment of hour number one here on the Friday edition of The Drive. We probably should mention the Hollis Davidson situation, Bill. It didn't come up when we were chatting about some other stuff in hour number one. Auburn freshman tight end Hollis Davidson the third, arrested in late July, charged with a felony possession of Schedule I controlled substance. These are police records obtained by the Advertiser. Auburn says that Davidson has been suspended for violation of team rules after initially participating in preseason workouts. Davidson was released on bond after he was approached by Peachtree City, Georgia law enforcement and found with a THC vape pen, among other items, in his pocket. And Davidson is the third incident involving an Auburn player since the start of July. DJ Barber, mm-hmm. and the domestic violence, of course, with Malcolm Simmons, and now Davidson suspended from the team, and we'll see the next time time we get an update there with the Hollis Davidson, who's had a bit of a star-crossed start to his Auburn career, dealt with the injury in the spring, and now a legal situation that has rendered him unavailable from preseason practice.
Right, suspended from team activities. Meanwhile, you mentioned Malcolm Simmons, his attorney today filing for youthful offender status. So if that is granted, then we really won't know much about any of the details involving this case.
Right. The news coming out was that I believe the youthful offender status motion was filed Thursday before the preliminary hearing, and if youthful offender status is granted, details surrounding the incident will be sealed and it will under conditions, if conditions are met, a jury will not hear the case. So it could be a step towards putting that incident behind Malcolm Simmons. That very serious situation that popped up earlier this year for Auburn's wide receiver. But yeah, just an unfortunate situation for Hollis. He's clearly got to get that he's got to get that settled before he can worry about playing college football, right, Coach? That's something that you can't you got to find a way to get that all handled before you can think about pivoting back to playing. Being on the team's a privilege,
Right, no doubt. And it that's the way it should be. And that is a privilege, and it's just unfortunate. We always talk about summertime as a scary time. If you're a coach, you don't want anything to happen. And unfortunately, some young men make mistakes, and we all do. And it's just unfortunate, but you want to get all that behind you. You don't want any distractions, because it's hard enough without distractions.
Yeah, so we'll see how those situations affect this year. You wonder how much Hollis was in the picture, tied in as a position, guys, that we've talked about. I mean, there's not as much depth there, and you wonder how much, how much of the time – oh, there will be a tight end on the field.
Yeah, there's not as much depth there, and Auburn has so many options at wide receiver, right? And for that matter, running back. That it might be you might see less of the tight end than you've seen in recent seasons. Now Brandon Frazier, still an important part of the team and a guy that can help out.
I think he will be
help out as a I wonder how often he'll be targeted, but I think he's somebody that can certainly help out. I mean, Coach, this is a guy that folks wanted to move to tackle. Right, I mean, 6'7", 6'8", 300 pounds, and can hold his own. And if you wanted a little extra push on either side of the offensive line, Brandon Frazier, and for that matter, Tate Johnson, who looks like a different person but is
he's down about 40 pounds.
Yeah, but is a converted offensive lineman in his own right now, right. playing tight end.
Yeah.
So your top two options, and they like they threw the ball to Preston a little bit yesterday. You know, I think that's probably your the Maryland transfer Preston Howard is your likeliest receiving target at that position. But I think Brandon and Tate could have a significant role in the offense, even if it's not necessarily getting looked at a lot by the quarterback. They could still be very important. We're gonna take we're gonna step aside for the ESPN break. Come back with hour number two. Dan Peck, Coach Don Dunn in the studio, Drew at the controls, Bill on the home studio. We'll be back with more. Stick around.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Friday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio with Drew at the controls. We got Coach Don Dunn hanging out. We got Bill Cameron on the home studio beaming in, feeling better, and talking about maybe coming back into the studio here at Auburn Network next week. So looking forward to a Bill Cameron appearance. But Bill, you sound great, and it's still amazing, that we can get that kind of audio quality outside the studio, and it's a credit to the folks here at Auburn Network, and with high school football coming up very soon, this equipment's going to get a little bit more run because we've got Auburn High and Lee Scott coming up on the Auburn, just 2 weeks from today, we've got the high school football action getting started here in the Auburn Opelika area. You can catch all that on the Auburn Network family of stations. 3 weeks from today, Wings 94.3 will have Auburn versus Baylor live from Waco, season opener, a pivotal season opener for Hugh Freeze in year three. We've been able to see some of the team, a lot of access in practice. And Bill, it's a contrast, and I know there's been optimism in years past, but there's a, I don't know. I mean, look, if evaluating it, you know, I said it in hour number one. You're not talking about, at least right now, you know, in week three, week four, maybe we will be, but you're not talking about a position that's way behind where it needs to be. You're talking about you've got depth, and you're wondering, you know, how much of the depth is going to contribute. You know what? You know who's going to get their number called, but you get the sense they feel pretty good about their collection of talent, or even more than pretty good about their collection of talent pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons that Hugh Freeze wanted to let everybody know that he was disappointed in Wednesday's practice because, what we've heard his key word for this year is expectation, and they expect to be able to go out there and play with, compete, and be able to beat anybody they play. But you can't expect to do that if you're having subpar practices. Now, from all indications, I mean, Wednesday was the only subpar practice there'd been up till that point. We'd heard nothing but, you know, glowing remarks. And I believe that was intended to, catch the ears of the players, especially the leaders on this team. And it sounded like they came back and had a good practice yesterday and then are scrimmaging this afternoon. Hey, Dan, did you notice have you seen the line lately for the Auburn-Baylor game?
I have not noticed. Has there been movement of late?
Yes, there indeed has. Remember, it seemed like Auburn opened at about a point and a half favorite, and then it had switched completely, and Baylor was a point and a half favorite just a week or so ago. But today, it looks like Auburn is a 2-point favorite, so that has jumped quite a bit here just in the last few days.
Yeah, and I keep wondering if, I mean, it's an interesting game, you know, for sort of a gambling, for a sharp, you know, somebody, an unbiased observer to look at from that regard, because Baylor's at home. Baylor's got the quarterback that finished last season, or at least a returning quarterback that finished last season with some momentum. Lots new for Auburn, but at the same time, you know, I think most folks would tell you Baylor hasn't recruited the way Auburn has. The blue chip ratio and things like that would tell you it's advantage Auburn.
Oh yeah,
you know, I raised the question earlier this week, Bill. A team with Baylor's roster would have been picked to finish where in this year's SEC? Like
probably in the bottom four.
I was going to say, is it you know, around where Arkansas was picked to finish?
Yeah,
would probably be like that's I think a fair assessment. And so even though the game's away from home, I can understand why. I can understand why there is. You want to be careful about this guarded optimism, or mm-hmm. some confidence that Auburn could go out there and really perform against even though it's not at Jordan-Hare Stadium. 334-321-1390 the number to dial. You know, something else, Bill. It's graduation weekend. Summer, summer graduation weekend here with and I know Auburn's got I think they sent an email out. Quite a few athletes participating in graduation mm-hmm. ceremonies this weekend, and Chad Baker Mazzara among the graduating
good for Chad, the
graduating athletes for Auburn. So it's very cool to see 24 student athletes participating in summer commencement, including Chad, Jaheim, Miles, and JP from the men's basketball team. Jackson, Jason Jones, Tutal Miller, and Colby Wooden, the football players that will be participating in graduation in the 2025 summer commencement this weekend at Neville Arena. 334-321-1390. Big congratulations to all of those new Auburn graduates. Let's get to Pat, who's on the phone on the Drive Hotline presented by Skybar. What's up, buddy?
Hey guys, how are y'all doing? Hey Bill, hope you're feeling better. I know.
Man, I'm definitely better.
Yeah, my toe was hurting, and it turned out to be a ligament. But man, I couldn't even put my foot down, and it was sharp pains. But it's better now. But yeah, I know exactly that kind of pain really sucks. I went down to Biloxi to Voivod and down there, and I was going to put my Auburn bets in, and then I played some craps, and I got pretty lucky, and I won, and so I made a bigger bet on Auburn. And instead of betting on the 7.5 games, my mind was thinking, if we don't beat Baylor, then we're probably going to be fighting to get to eight games, you know. So I just said, instead of betting on that, I'm going to bet on Auburn Baylor. So when I got it at plus one, and then when they were I put 10,000 down, and the guy was like, he was like, why? Well, he goes, well, we can't take that. And I said, well, I mean, I hear people make $1 million bets all the time, and they go, yeah, but not like before the season. They said, and I said, well, so he made me wait like 10 minutes, and they took it, and when I left there, we were minus one.
Yeah, maybe you moved the line, Pat. Maybe that's
line. Pat may have moved the line himself because of what's been bet on it so far.
Yeah, I think what happens is that usually it's like it's $500,000 of bet. Supposedly it moves at a half a point or something like that. It's something to do with like a certain amount. But I think if people are betting a large amount before the real betting starts, I think that kind of makes people think too. They don't want to be wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's. They want to pick the line right, so that way people bet on both sides, and then they just get the juice money. But anyway, no. But when I won the craps, I was like, man, I played like 6 hours. I couldn't. I mean, I was hitting everything. So I was like, I'm gonna put a little bit more money on Auburn. So I got my bet in on basketball at 30-1, and I got my bet in on football at 70-1. So that worked out pretty good for them.
So where does your confidence come from in Auburn being able to handle the Baylor game?
The confidence is there's one report came out, and it listed players as on both teams. It said elite players, great players, very good players, and then good players. And when they listed Auburn, we had 5 elite players, and they had 0. We had 11 great players, they had 0, and then they had 6 very good players, and we had like 30. So basically, you're saying to yourself, we have 16. Hold on. We have 16 guys that basically are starters that are better, hands down better, elite or great players where they don't have any. And so I say, okay, well, if we're hands down more talented across the board. If we've got the depth of receiver that we have, which we do, if it's me, I'm going to run. When I take out Cam Coleman and the starters, and I bring in, a number three and you bring in our backup guys, I run them
Perry
on bombs.
Thompson, Sam Turner.
I don't see
right.
Yeah, I don't see how they are going to be able to the cornerbacks are going to be able to keep. They're going to be burned out by the third quarter. I just feel like they can't with our receivers. I just don't think they're going to be able to hold up. They're cornerbacks. So I think we've got the whole summer, the whole fall practice to figure out this team and know their weaknesses. And I just don't believe that we're going to lose this game. I just don't believe it. I just do not believe it.
I mean, and we've seen, and I think there were games last year where you felt like Auburn, from a personnel standpoint, was in a really strong position and just awful miscues and things like that sort of, turned a spoiled an opportunity to collect a win. I don't think Hugh Freeze is in position to spoil too many opportunities where it seems like he has the better team. And it seems like, you want to be careful because it's away from home, and Baylor was recently favored. He was favored until Pat went to the Beau Rivage. But it was but the fact is, if Auburn, I think it's fair to say Auburn, this is another game where Auburn probably has a significant enough personnel advantage that people are going to be pretty disappointed. If an unclean or a sloppy game is the reason Auburn were to lose.
Yeah, well, and I mean, we can lose by one, and I still don't. I push, so I'm not really sweating that. It's not really. It wasn't even about the money as much as it was just the show that I believe in this team. And what you said about Amaris Williams is great because that's what I wanted to hear. That the defensive line is the one thing I was worried about, and I noticed that Jared Smith, he looked like he hurt his wrist, on one play at the end of the practice on Saturday. But after I walked out of that practice, we just have some studs, man. I mean, there's the speed on our wide receivers and our defensive line. I just can't believe that a bunch of decent players can stand up to that. I just can't. It would take a massive. I just trust in Auburn. I trust that, and I love our defensive coach to death. And I think that he's got our guys in the right mode. And I think we're going. I went back and watched the videos of last year's games and the highlights. And I mean, there were so many plays that we just blew it on one play. In Arkansas, it's 3rd and 19, and the guy gets the first down. I mean, that changed the whole game. He throws a wild deep ball that was. He should have been sacked on, and he throws it up, and the guy comes down with it. I mean, there was just so many plays last year that in the Vanderbilt game that are just uncharacteristic. That I just think we're going to straighten that out. And I think
that was last season was. And look, you can say some of it. You can blame some of it on the coaches themselves. But last year was as snake bitten a team as far as number of games that felt like they were in position to win that turned to. Didn't turn out their way, right? There were other underachieving seasons, but you didn't feel like there were that many games that slipped away in those seasons, right?
I'm 50 seconds. We get all the way down to the 2-yard line at the end of the half, and then we miss the field goal. I mean, it's unbelievable.
How about Missouri, Pat?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. So I kind of forgot about it because it was such a disastrous ending. I just forgot about it. Rewatching it, and watching that practice, I just said, man, I believe in Auburn. I'm not saying we're going to win it all, but I know that we're going to win that Baylor game. In Georgia, we're sitting all over them because we have a bye, and they play Alabama and Kentucky, and then they come to Auburn, and then we have a night game. I mean, if we don't beat Georgia this year, oh my God. It's I don't think there's anybody's ever sat on anybody as much as that game. I mean, Georgia cannot they can't overlook Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky may turn out to be last, but they're still a tough team. I mean, Georgia always seems to mess around with teams that they're way better than, and then they pull it out in the end. So I think that we're going to be sitting there watching them and preparing for Georgia. So I'm going to take one game at a time, but I just think we're going to start out with a win.
One game at a time, except for Georgia. Right, there's
yeah. Well, no, I'm just saying those are two games that I'm chucking, that I'm putting the chalk on, that I think we're going to win. I'm not saying we're going to win all the rest of them. I'm just saying I think Georgia, that's too much advantage for us. We're going to be prepared. And if we start out with Baylor and we get on a run, I feel like we might be undefeated after Georgia. I really feel that way. But I just don't believe we're going to lose to Baylor. That's my mind.
It's got to start. Look, you can't. None of that happens if you're not 1-0. Appreciate the phone call, Pat. And yep. I think in the case of it's a season of unbridled optimism right now, Bill. But I think with Hugh Freeze, he has been very candid this off season about how important confidence is to this team, and how maybe even like it's a thing that can impact performance. I think a loss to Baylor would be just a critical blow to the confidence of this team.
No question.
And so that's why coming back home triumphant from Waco, yeah, it suddenly opens up the possibilities of all these incredible things in this fantastic season. But you gotta go out there 3 weeks from today and come home with a win. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. You want to get to John before we let's get to John. Yeah, let's get to John, who's hanging on before we take a break. What's up, John?
Hello, how are you, sir?
How you doing, bud?
What concerns me about the Baylor game is that they have 18 returning starters, and they're picked first by Athlon in the Big 12, and they're picked fourth by Phil Steele. They won six of their last seven, and they have an excellent quarterback. So though I do agree that Auburn has a talent advantage, I'm just concerned that by that point for the first game of the season, that we won't have the cohesiveness and we won't have gelled to the degree of Baylor, and that may be the difference. And that's, I'll just listen off the air. Thank you.
No, that's interesting. Yeah, interesting points. I mean, those are all. He's right on with all those, as we pointed out. I mean, Baylor's got SMU.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email TheDrive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Final segment of the week, as we are rapidly approaching the start of the 2025 football season. A lot of fun, a lot of calls here in the second hour. Hope you guys are enjoying the show as much as we are here in the studio, and with Bill maybe coming back to the studio pretty soon. So we're excited about that. Glad you're feeling better, Bill, and glad that you could jump back on the show towards the end of the week. Let's get to Yellowhammer, who's on the phone to wrap things up for us. What's up, Hammer?
Hey, afternoon. So just to be sure I'm correct here in what I heard a few minutes ago on your show, did you say that Baylor is kind of a battle-tested, experienced offensive line?
Baylor returns, I believe, four offensive linemen who started multiple games last year. Now that can mean a lot of things, but that was there were positions Baylor felt like they needed to hit really hard in the portal to bring in new players. Offensive line was a place where they felt like they could stand pat and continue delivering, continue developing four guys that they had in house.
So if I'm Baylor and I'm attacking Auburn, I'm wondering if this isn't a strategy. Go ahead and try to just keep Auburn on the bench, run the ball, run the clock, and try to shorten the game, and just that kind of a thing.
The more your quarterback has it, the less the other team's quarterback has it, right, Yellowhammer?
Right.
Do what now?
The more your team's quarterback has the ball, the less time there is for the other team's quarterback with the ball, right?
Yeah, that's kind of it. Yeah. Keep your opponent's offense on the bench.
Sure. And you know, the added benefit of that strategy, if Baylor wants to employ it, Coach, is those snaps start to add up the longer a defense is on the field, right? Like we saw, I think Arkansas did a little bit of that last year.
Where it was, ran the ball.
Keep away was part of the strategy. Keep running the clock down in the second half to fight. You know who else is fantastic at that is Pavia. Vanderbilt, he's done it to us a couple of times, Bill.
Yeah.
Pavia, when he's got a lead late, his ability to milk that clock all the way down to 1 second and keep
so much with his legs.
Yes.
Too.
Oh, yeah. And some of those, I mean, you look at those fourth quarter drives by both New Mexico State and Vanderbilt, and it's torture. I mean, it's Geneva Convention stuff, Coach. It is unacceptable what they were able to do. And so, I think if you, I mean, some places that feel really good about their explosive offense don't want to, sort of incorporate ball control into the attack. But I could see Baylor if they think they can get an advantage that way. I think that's an interesting thought there. Spavital is a run and shoot guy, but he throws a million screen passes at you.
Yeah,
it's a million. I mean that Cal team that 2 years ago.
That wears you out too.
And that's something that chasing around receivers at the sideline in Waco, Texas.
Yeah,
that's gonna be a conditioning test.
Yes,
for the Auburn defense. But
yeah,
we'll see how it goes. Coach, thank you so much.
No, thank you guys. Enjoyed it,
Bill.
What you got planned this weekend, Don?
Just working at the old pit tonight and. Nothing really. I am going to smoke some ribs tomorrow.
Ooh.
And made some homemade cowboy beans and a little corn on the cob and just kind of relax.
You've earned it. That's pretty good Saturday there. Bill, continue to recover, and we will look forward to having you back in the studio again when you're feeling up for it.
Yeah, hopefully a good weekend. Yeah, hopefully a good weekend and rehab a little PT on Monday morning. We will see how things are going Monday afternoon.
Congratulations again to everyone graduating this weekend.
Sure.
How about that, Auburn graduates? Yeah. 2025 summer commencement. Got the email earlier. 24 Auburn student athletes among the folks participating in that in the ceremonies this weekend at Neville Arena. So congratulations to everyone as part of that. I think we got to welcome some new students too, right? It's about that time where we're talking about
a lot.
Some, I mean,
a
yeah.
lot of them are moving in.
Yeah, yeah, it's
a lot of U-Hauls.
Hopefully, we can get them turned on to the drive on ESPN 106.7. We'll have Brian Matthews in Monday. We'll talk about what everybody's been able to glean from today's scrimmage.
And didn't you mentioned it earlier, Bill? What Jace Matthews is that?
Oh yeah. Jace Matthews supposed to be announcing here in about 3 minutes.
Yeah, Jace,
actually about 6 minutes.
So there's some big recruiting news on the horizon with a target that Auburn's been after for quite some time. The wide receiver out of Mississippi, and we'll talk about that more on Monday. For Bill Cameron, for Coach Don Dunn, for Drew with the controls. This is Dan Peck signing off. Thanks for all the calls. We will talk to you on Monday. Good night.
Taking applications, I would like to apply, but no, I mean, people can do what they want with their money for sure. And if he's got $10,000 to bet on our Auburn Tigers, then more power to him for sure. But I just wonder, I've got a lot of confidence in Auburn in this game too. Somebody put a gun to my head, I would probably pick Auburn, I guess. But there's a reason that point spread has moved back and forth. And I hear people say Auburn has the decided talent advantage, and perhaps they do. But that game's going to be a close game. And I challenge anyone to tell me the last time Auburn went on the road and beat a team of Baylor's stature, or supposed stature this year, I guess. The caller following Pat mentioned that Baylor's picked by some folks mm-hmm. to be first in the Big 12, second, third, fourth, somewhere in the top quarter for sure of the Big 12. I'd like to know when was the last time Auburn went on the road and beat a team of that stature.
You know, I would think we had – I think it was last week we had someone ask, like, Auburn's last high-quality road win. And I would point out, I know people remember Auburn snapping the streak against LSU, but that wasn't a very good LSU team. That was the year that Orgeron got fired. That same season, This would have been 2021 when Auburn went to Arkansas and beat an Arkansas team that ended up winning nine games. And so, the win in Fayetteville over the 21 Arkansas Razorbacks would probably be Auburn's last. To answer your question, Auburn's last win.
That was a fairly decisive win.
But you haven't had a. You've played three full seasons pretty much since that game was over. So I understand the skepticism of expecting something like that when it's when it hasn't necessarily been commonplace for Auburn.
Yeah, and I'll hang up and just take y'all's calls afterwards. I know there's other calls we want to get in, but and that was three full seasons ago, and the three seasons since then, it's not like we've been building, saying, "Man, this is it. We're coming." No, we've actually not done much. So I want Hugh to succeed as much as anyone does, and I want Auburn to succeed as much as anyone does. But this confidence that I'm hearing from a lot of Auburn fans, I think what we're doing is we're putting this game in terms of history of college football, that Baylor has been terrible and Auburn has been a top 15, top 20 program throughout history. And I don't think we're looking at it through the lens of what is current day. What current day is Auburn is a very middling program. They're not very good, and they haven't been good for a while. So I love Pat's confidence. I wish I had it, and I wish I had the bankroll to be able to put 10 grand on an Auburn team who hasn't won a big road game in 3 years. But I challenge people to look at the reality of the situation, and let's focus there. If Auburn goes out there and wins big, then, yeah, I'll jump on the train a little bit. But up until then, let's pump the brakes and really see where we're at. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, really interesting stuff from Brian.
And I understand exactly where he's coming from, the players and the coaches need to be confident. I understand sometimes, yes, fans tend to go ahead and jump to the overconfident side of things, but it makes perfect sense. Auburn needs to prove that they are as good as they. As their talent supposedly says they are.
Right, and I think part of the reason that it's easier, and we'll see what happens this year, part of the reason it's easier to believe in this Auburn team is that I feel like it's not necessarily a group of it's not a group of replacement-level players, and you have the utmost confidence in Hugh Freeze's genius and Hugh Freeze's ability to coach up and overachieve. I don't know if it's necessarily about this team needing to overachieve relative to what people think they are. It's about... stop underachieving, right? You know, considering the games that happened last year, and often I always think about Kirby Smart. Like the easiest way to win is you go get better players than the other team.
Yeah, have better players.
Yeah, have better players, and I think that's the part of the reason for optimism. I would think is the thought that Hugh Freeze and his staff, even with some miscues in game, have done an excellent job assembling a roster with better players. Let's tell you what. Let's take a break. Drew's feverishly answering the phones here. We got a full bank of calls that we will get to. Brett will start us off when we come back. You are listening to the Friday edition of The Drive.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Friday edition of The Drive. Dan and Don in the studio. Drew at the controls. Bill beaming in from home. We got a full bank of calls. Drew, who's up first? Nathan is up first. What's up, Nathan?
Hey, bud. I've been listening to y'all for a long time. I'm one of those backdoor listeners that never call in or anything. And been listening to y'all. I had no gray hairs when I started listening to y'all, but I had one thing. The reality of this team, they haven't played a game. You can't put Auburn's history on this team. Mm-hmm. Auburn's history is ours as a fan. The team, though, hasn't played a game. Give them a minute. Let them do what they're working towards, because I promise you, they are bleeding, sweating, and putting everything out there for this university. So that's all I have to say, fellas. I love y'all's show. Listen to y'all every single day.
Oh, yeah, appreciate it, Nathan. Great
Thank
stuff.
You.
No, I think it's in an era where, like, it's just, you know, patience is passe, right? Like, I think reminding folks, even when and some of that's, Coach, some of that's the reason why you don't usually, like, a lot of coaches didn't like playing a big game opening night, right?
Is
that you want to be able to have a game where you can extend that patience.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough situation. You love the big game, but also it can really, really affect your team if you don't do well. It can set you back, your confidence, your fan base, all those things. That's why this game is so important. And, yeah, I mean, as a fan, you want to play Notre Dame. But as a coach, sometimes you want to play the junior high down the road.
334-321-1390, the number to dial on the drive hotline presented by Skybar. Drew?
Bill
is next up. You show me the board. You're allowed to do that, Drew. Bill is next up. Let's go with Bill. What's up, Bill?
Hey, guys. I was taking something from one of your previous callers where you talked about the, we haven't been really much better than a middle-of-the-road team for a while now, and some of that's not Coach Freeze's fault, maybe all of it. I mean, he inherited a less than ideal situation. But he's had some time to get some players in with the portal. It's not 1979 anymore. You don't have to wait 3 or 4 years to guys to develop. And the last call talked about, the players really want to play for the university and so forth. So on that may be true. I kind of had doubts about that myself. And the era we live in where the players have, you know, these kids are coming out of high school and getting a lot of money to come to these places, and everybody's driving fancy cars and got a nice checking account, I'm assuming. But here's the thing. This is a different day and time now, as I said the other day. It's people want to see results because people are paying a lot of money to go to these games. You can't park free. You can't do anything free over there. I get it. Times have changed. But this game is, what your caller said yesterday, it's not end of the world if we don't win this game. But I'll tell you what, you'll be able to see it from there if you don't. And, you know, I'm going out there in 3 weeks. I believe in Auburn, and I want I want to support the team and so forth and so on. But, I don't know. Like Coach Dunn says, you kind of like to play an easier game off right out of the bat, but sometimes it doesn't always go that way. Sometimes you got to open up with the big boys. I remember Vince Dooley of Georgia saying one time that when you opened up with a really good team, when it was over, you had no illusions about where you were at, whether you were, it's human nature to want to open up with a little softer opponent, but and times have changed.
The thing, Bill, that I find myself being guilty of, and this is incorrect, but I find myself thinking, you know, if Auburn can't beat Baylor, how are they going to turn around in a couple of weeks and beat Oklahoma and Norman and beat A&M and College Station? I keep finding myself wondering that. And it's you have a bad game against Baylor, you have a good game against Oklahoma, and you split those games and you win Oklahoma without beating Baylor. It just feels like that's a really unlikely way for this to go. Where the team isn't good enough to win in Waco, but they are good enough to beat teams like Oklahoma and Texas A&M on the road. And if you don't win any of those games, then you're talking about 2-3 with Georgia coming to town. So that's sort of the rabbit hole I find myself going down when it comes to, using the Baylor game to project more than just the Baylor game.
I agree completely, and I hate for it to be at this point where we have to depend on it, an opening game on the road against a good team to define the season, but that's kind of where we're at. But I enjoy the show, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
Great stuff, Bill. 334-321-1390, the number to dial, and let's keep it rolling. Bill Cameron, you're still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What have you thought of these last couple of calls and the exchanges we've had here?
No, I mean, it's very understandable to be cautious right now. Everybody can tell just by looking at the players and seeing any video that this is a more talented team, but that doesn't necessarily guarantee wins. But you're right, Dan. You can lose this ball game. You've seen a lot of teams lose a game early, a shocking game early. Look at Notre Dame last year. You know, I mean, when Notre Dame lost to, who was it, Northern Illinois?
Did they beat A&M and lose to Northern Illinois?
Yeah, but, you know, they lost to Northern Illinois, and it's like, there's no way this team's going to win six ball games. Mm-hmm. So it can happen, but no, it sure wouldn't feel like it's likely if you lost to Baylor that you're going to win those next ball games.
Yeah, just a real down note to begin a really important
stretch. But you know what, I would take that if the season turned out exactly like Notre Dame's did last year. No, it'd be disappointing because you didn't win the national championship or anything. But, you know, they made the playoff and had a pretty darn good year.
I mean, a more recent example would be, and we'll get to Dan in just a second, but a more recent example would be that Auburn team in 2017 that looked absolutely hapless at Clemson.
Oh,
right.
No,
I mean, that
kidding.
you were at that game.
Every play was a sack.
Yeah, you were at that game, and it just felt like it seemed broken. Offensively, that team goes 10-2 and wins the SEC West and beats Alabama and Georgia at the end of the year. So, I mean, these things can happen, but it just, you know.
No guarantees that they are if you lose that one.
No guarantees. It's an early stomach punch that you gotta find a way to absorb. Let's get to Dan, who's been hanging on. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. I've kind of did a little bit of research on it. Okay, so everyone's talking about how Baylor kind of got hot at the end of the year and they started – yeah, they won six in a row before they lost in the bowl game to LSU. But if you look at the six games they played where they got hot, you know, they played an 8-5 Texas Tech on the road, and they played a 3-9 Oklahoma State at home. Then they played a 9-4 TCU team that they won by 3 at home. Then they went on the road and played a 6-7 West Virginia team. And then they played a Houston at 4-8. And then they played Kansas at 5-7. So, I mean, they weren't really going into a tough stretch of, you know, like super talented
teams. Yeah, so they played
teams,
two teams,
you know,
with winning records.
Most of those teams were limping into the end of the year. And, you know, give them credit, they won those games. But still, it's not like you were going through a tough SEC stretch.
That league, too, and not to take anything away from any of the good teams in last year's Big 12, right? Arizona State went punch for punch with Texas in that playoff game until the very end, and teams like BYU and other teams had really impressive seasons. I do think that you can have that league is so big that you can have wild disparities between the kind of schedules that teams play, and you can have a situation where you run into a stretch of teams that have, and again, to take nothing away from the, you know, the, I mean, Baylor almost went to the Big 12 championship game. I think they were one game shy. But, like, people talked about that when they talked about Colorado breaking through in year two under Deion. It's like some of that is you can – I mean, we think it happens in the SEC. In the Big 12, you can have two teams in the league that play – you know, one team's got murderer's row and one team's got a bunch of teams that aren't going to go to a bowl game.
Yeah. I got one more thing for you here, too. Of their whole schedule, the two teams that ended up – In the rankings of their whole schedule, you had Iowa State ended up number 15, and they lost that game on the road 43-21, and then the other team that they lost to was Colorado, who was 25. So they really didn't, it's not like they went and beat some really good teams. I mean, they were kind of, you know, their schedule was pretty suspect, but you know, we'll see.
Good stuff, Dan. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Didn't talk too much about. We got the coaches poll earlier this week. Oklahoma, I believe, was it first First time since 99, Oklahoma not in the top 25 in the preseason coaches poll. They were just outside as the 26th top 26th team. Baylor and Auburn both outside the top 25, but in the top 33 or so, right? Oklahoma, like the others receiving votes after the 25, Oklahoma, Missouri, Louisville, USC, Utah, Baylor, and Auburn are your next eight. So your next seven. So and then Iowa is right after Auburn. So you know, bubbling under the old radio term, right? Right, Bill. And I would think
bubbling under the top 25.
And I would think the winner of Baylor and Auburn at 1-0 has a pretty good shot. As a pretty good shot of jumping into the following week's top 25, depending on what happens on opening day. And like we said, a lot of big games opening weekend around the country in college football. And we'll have some of those for you here on ESPN 106.7. And, of course, we'll have Auburn and Baylor on Wings 94.3 3 weeks from tonight. And I'll tell you what, the second hour, Bill, has had some – it's had some game day, game
spark.
Week. Yeah, it's had a little.
I like it. We're getting close.
How about it?
It'll get better.
Can't wait. Can't wait. And we'll be back with more. You're listening to the Friday edition of The Drive. Experience.